I want to extend my welcome to all of you today, those of you who are here in the sanctuary, those of you who are online, for those of you who were dragged here by a friend, a family member, a relative, or those of you who came running through the doors. We're glad that you're with us. We're glad that you are a part of this Peachtree family and a moment that we set aside in our week to gather, to pray, to celebrate, and especially today, to honor our high school seniors that are on the cusp of a significant growth and transition as they head off to college and in the next stage of their life. Can we give them a hand as we kind of begin to... In the year 2003, America faced a shocking tragedy. Many watched the news or in the sky when the shuttle and the Columbia spacecraft broke apart into countless little fireballs and pieces, killing all seven astronauts aboard. And it was not only the loss of life, it was also the questions that came behind that tragedy. Can we trust this technology that we believe that leads us into a greater and a better future? But most of us were watching the news and what was happening in the skies. We were watching it with our feet planted firmly on the earth. And this was an entirely different experience because of the vantage point of three astronauts that were in this location. They were on the International Space Station. And these astronauts were not just thinking about the tragedy, they also were thinking, hey, that was our ride home. NASA immediately had to ground the space shuttle program. And so we had astronauts that were stranded in space. A journalist and a writer by the name of Chris Jones wrote a nonfiction book on that very situation, and he entitled it Too Far From Home. And I think that is far more than just a title. It's a description of how often we feel when we are facing such a tectonic and significant shift in our life, when we are in exile and we find ourselves stranded in ways that we never anticipated nor certainly expected or wanted. And so this is kind of the feeling, this is kind of the sentiment or the situation that's behind the prayer that we're going to look at today. Throughout the course of this year, we're looking at different prayers of the prayer book of the Bible, the book of the Psalms. And Psalm 42 was not written in the comfort of a palace or in the courts of the great temple in Jerusalem. Psalm 42 was forged in exile. It was a prayer that was given too far from home. And so the person who's writing this prayer, one of the sons of Korah, this person writing this prayer knows what it's like to be distant, to be in despair. He knows what it's like to think and to be able to remember the joy, to remember what it was like to be in the temple, to remember what it was like to feel those moments when he used to be close to the presence of the living God. But now, he's not necessarily lost in faith. He's just lonely in the midst of it. He hasn't given up on God. But he does feel despair within his heart, stranded in his own soul. And so today, on a day when we're going to launch a bunch of seniors into the world and to go away from home, let's deal with what is it like for you to go out into that space where you might feel homesick. I am sure that our seniors are like, I'm never going to be homesick. Can't wait to get out of here. But there are those moments when we have to shift and we do feel that loss. And that can be geographic or that can be just emotional, vocational, in all kinds of different ways you can be homesick. And the way that this prayer deals with it is in kind of three different facets. It talks about our desires, it talks about our memories, and it talks about our resilience. And there's three kind of prevailing questions that are birthed out of this prayer. What do you really want? What do you need to remember? And what do you got to keep doing? And so first, let's talk about what is it that you really want? You can summarize going to seminary and being in graduate school and being in a community with a group of people, and it feels like all day, every day, the basic question is, what do you think about this? What do you think about this? What do you think about God? What do you think about God? What do you think about this? What do you think about this? Just over and over and over again. And then I remember being in my second semester and studying systematic theology, where we were reading one of the most famous thinkers of the church, a guy by the name of St. Augustine. And he basically says, hey, folks, we're not primarily thinking people. We are not thinking people who have desires. We are people who have desires, but also who think. Later, a St. Augustine scholar by the name of Jamie Smith puts it like this: discipleship is more a matter of hungering and thirsting than of knowing and believing. Our hearts are like existential sharks. They have to move to live. We are lovers first and foremost. You are what you love. The primary command is to love the Lord your God with all of your heart, your soul, your mind, and your strength. The primary command of the Bible is not, hey, you need to think these things about God with your whole self. It's not that thinking is bad. It's just thinking is just one dimension of what is a greater whole, that we are what we love. I am sure that even in my own marriage, that the core of what I am called to do as a husband is to love. It's not just to think well of my wife. And yet so many of us have gotten confused when it comes to the life of faith. We have reduced to the life of faith to the intellectual assent of, do you believe this and believe this and believe this about God? And that if so, you are in. Pull that together with the sharp contrast of the clarity that the person who wrote this prayer feels as he is far from home when he says this: as the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, my God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When can I go and meet with God? When was the last time that you talked about your desire for God, your love for God, your longing for God, your love for God in the same way that a wild creature feels the panting and desire for water in an arid climate when you're having to be on the run? That's the opening image of this song. And so when you're got your feet in a place where you never thought you would be, and you're feeling homesick, one of the questions you just got to ask yourself is, do I really want this? What do I want? It's a question of desire. Do you still want God? Second question, when you are far from home, has to do with memory. What do you need to remember? What do you need to keep as something that you don't forget? Here is how it is described in the psalm. I remember you from the land of the Jordan, the heights of Hermon, from Mount Mizar. Deep calls to deep in the roar of your waterfalls. All of your waves and breakers have swept over me. By day the Lord directs his love. At night his song is with me, a prayer to the God of my life. Been privileged to lead many tours into the land of the Bible, into the Holy Land and in Israel. And the farthest that we go on that trip and the highest that we climb is up into the foothills of Mount Hermon. Today in Israel, you could actually go snow skiing on Mount Hermon. That's how high the peak is. And in the foothills, they're one of the things that we get to see some of the oldest things that you get to see in Israel. You get to see an ancient Canaanite city ruins. And while you're making the trek to go see these ruins, you pass over a series of crossings and bridges. And I took a little video footage for you to get to see what you see when you walk through this area. Let's look at the screens. So we're passing over all these little bridges and things like that. The group's still moving. I'm sitting there videoing this, and Kelly, I remember her saying to me, "What are you doing?" And I said, "I'm taking video footage for a future sermon on Psalm 42. To which she says, "You are such a nerd. You know that, right?" She's not wrong. But this is the place where Psalm 42 is forged. It's up in the mountains of Mount Hermon. He tells us where he is. He's about as far away in a dangerous kind of place in Israel. Mountaintop places where people tend to hide, where pagan and strange things tend to happen up in the mountains. And as he is hearing the waterfalls roar in foam, he's thinking about the water that flows all the way down into the Jordan, into the land that sustains the people. Deep calls to deep. He's thinking to himself, "I'm far from home, but I've got to remember where I'm from." He says it like this: "These things I remember as I pour out." Think of the water pouring out of that mountain in the same way he pours out his soul. "How I used to go to the house of God." Didn't always used to be in exile. And yet he's honest. "My soul is downcast within me. Therefore, I will remember you." In the midst of his sadness, he clings to the memories that it wasn't always like this. And that even the waters roaring out of the mountain are a thing that jogs his memory for the way that God sends his provision. When you're far from home, you have to ask yourself, what is it that you want? You have to ask yourself, what do I need to remember? But you also need to ask yourself, what have I got to keep doing? What's got to keep happening? Here's how the prayer is. And this verse is repeated twice. "Why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me?" Notice the self-examination here. He is keeping on the conversation with his own soul. He's carrying on a conversation with himself. Then he gives himself a command. "Put your hope in God," he says to himself. "For I will," and this is my favorite word in the whole prayer, "yet praise him." The word "yet," if you've got your own Bible, if you've got your own journal, circle the word "yet." He is sad. He is disturbed. He is not where he expects and wants to be. Yet, he continues to praise, continues to live, keeps the conversation going. A friend of mine from Chicago is a pastor by the name of Dan Meyer, and Dan had a woman in his church who had lost her husband, and the financial situation had changed where she had to sell the house and had to move into an apartment, and the apartment that she ended up moving into was close to the college campus. In fact, it was just like a block and a half away, and so she got into this apartment, and she realized she was in a new community. She didn't know anybody. She didn't have any friends. And so she got an idea. She took some 3x5 kind of index cards and wrote on the index card, this is literally all she put on it. She said, "Homesick? Question mark. Lonely? Question mark." She put her apartment address and said, "Monday through Friday, 4:00, tea, my place." Put that on a bulletin board and a couple of the different student bulletin boards, dormitory thing, kind of things. You would think most kind of sane student would walk by that and be like, creepy, weird, not going to do that. But somebody showed. Somebody else showed. 10 years later, when she died, she had 80 honorary pallbearers at her funeral from students. Who had not only hot tea, but the warmth and the love and the hospitality of Jesus Christ himself out of her loneliness and exile in despair. Yet, I will praise you. I don't know if you feel really far from home. What I do know is that even when you're far from home, we're still called to praise the Lord. In order for us to close out this message today, I've invited 4 of our seniors to come and to help us apply these kinds of things. Will you give it up for our seniors who are coming to share? All right, this is Lucy and Clara and Rigsby and David. And guys, why don't you grab a seat and introduce yourselves. Tell us who you are, where you're going to go to school, and where you've been to school, and one fun fact about yourself.
All right, guys, my name is David Hughes. I go to North Atlanta High School. I will be attending Georgia Tech in the fall. And go Jackets. And a fun fact about me is that I have briefly flown a plane.
He has said that all morning this morning. I feel like I got to ask the follow-up question, right? Like the context for that, but we're going to save that for later. Go ahead.
Good morning, y'all. I'm Clara Gregson. I go to Mount Vernon, and I'll be attending the University of Georgia next year. Yes, go Dogs. And a fun fact about me is that I play the drums.
Good morning. My name is Reese Pugillette. I go to North Atlanta High School, and I'll be attending Georgia Tech in the fall. Go Jackets. I have never broken a bone.
Hey, y'all. My name is Lucy Green. I'm a senior at Holy Innocence, and I will be going to the University of Georgia next fall. Go Dogs. And a fun fact about me is I'm scuba certified.
Very nice. Notice this is a part of our diversity initiative. We've got equal balancing affair of lots of over here of our Georgia allegiances here. Guys, we've talked about what it means to go far from home, Midtown, Athens. Probably should have planned this a little better when we were putting this together a while ago. We don't have a lot of geographical diversity we're dealing with here. But this is going to be a huge change for you and for all of us. And when you go somewhere new, you have to kind of reevaluate your priorities, your wants, your desires. And so let's learn a little bit about us being wanting creatures. Tell us something that you've really wanted before and what you've learned from it.
I can start. Growing up, swimming was always my favorite sport, and over the past few years, I've really been working towards this one specific time in one of my events, and no matter how hard I worked and how hard I prayed, I always seemed to get the same time and never saw any improvement, but I actually ended up getting my time that I've been working towards in my very last race, and just relying on God in that moment and having completed what I've been working towards my entire swim career in my very last race was so special and such a special moment for me. And so that's something I've really wanted and something I really relied on God for.
So I don't want to miss the fact that you couldn't have just said, I think I really want to have a better time in swimming. Like, you had to desire it. You had to want it. That was the only way you were going to push yourself to be able to do that. Go ahead.
Yes, like you were saying, you can't just say, I want to do something. Something that I really, really wanted was to go to UGA, and I couldn't just walk into high school and say, I want to go to UGA, that's it. I had to put effort behind it, I had to put work behind it, and I believe it's the same thing for our relationship with God. We have to put in effort, we have to not just believe that he's real and acting in our lives, but we have to act as if he's real. and pursue him every day.
One of the things that's amazing is that there's plenty of people in this room and watching this right now that like 25 years ago did just wake up and say, I think I'll go to UGA, and that was just fine. It's just that times have changed in that regards. David, what about for yourself? When have you really wanted something?
Oh my.
Why are you shaking your head like
so, that? So when I was really little, I needed an Xbox. When I was really little, all of my friends had one, and I desired that Xbox. And eventually, with enough convincing, my parents got me that Xbox, and let me tell you, it was everything that I could have asked for. But there is a difference between our worldly desires and then our desire to be with the Lord, and there's a difference between simple belief and desire. When it comes to belief, you can believe in God, but that's not truly having a relationship. You want to desire God. You can believe in God all you want, but if you don't actively seek him out, you will never truly have a relationship with God.
Rigsby, let's change gears a little bit, and I'll let you start with this. When's a time when kind of your awareness of God, your hunger or desire for God kind of came alive for you?
So when I was younger growing up, my older brother and his best friend were big role models for me, and I was lucky enough to get the opportunity to be counselors with them at the church's middle school ministry summer camp, Ducktown. And watching them interact with the campers and watching God work through them was something so special to me. And that really turned God from just a word to me into something living and active in my life.
Yeah, and going off that same vein, I was also a counselor with him at Ducktown. And being able to see the Lord work through these kids and being able to say, see the Lord work through me into the hearts of these kids and watch them grow and develop has been a really, really cool feeling for me, and it's really allowed me to grow closer to the Lord.
Wait a minute. You and Rigsby have been friends for a while, right?
Yes, sir.
Did he have the Xbox before you, or did you have the Xbox before him?
He had the Xbox before
I did. Okay. Is that why you were friends, because he had the Xbox?
Let's move on, please.
Part of it.
Okay, it's all right. So move on. All right, let's change gears here, and one more aspect of kind of wanting and desiring that we ought to talk about here. When I was talking about in the message, Saint Augustine helped us to really understand a theology of desire, and he talks about what sin is it's not just a breaking of a rule; it's disordered desire. It's putting one desire ahead of another, and so we have to have a well-ordered heart. We have to have a well-ordered life. What are some things that you guys are going to do when you go to college to try to have a well-ordered heart and life that puts your desires around God to be first?
I'll start us off. One thing that we talked about a lot in our senior ministry Rooted this year was relationships and how the people that you're around can push you closer to the Lord. And so I believe this is one way that you can prioritize your relationship with God. Especially, we talked about being the friend that you are looking for, being a friend that's encouraging and that is pulling others closer to Christ. And through being in prayer, in scripture, service, church, and also community, as I mentioned, being immersed, your love for the Lord is going to grow. And as your love for the Lord grows, you're going to want to stay closer to him.
Kind of like we just talked about, me and David have been friends for a while. We went to kindergarten together. We kind of got brought up together. And he's been someone that's been really important in my faith journey. Just like, even if it was in elementary school, middle school, high school, we'd push each other to show up more often, to be more engaged, to go to Camp Ducktown. So I'm really lucky in that aspect that I have friends where my life is set up like that and I can be put in a good position. I've got some great friends sitting over here. Come and support us. Shout out them. Love y'all. But yeah, I'm really lucky to be in that situation.
I'm sure they love that shout out right now on the internet. That's so good. Lucy, let's start with you on this one. We're gonna shift gears. When we are far from home, we have to reevaluate our desires, our wants, but also we have to figure out what are we going to remember. What's something that you want to remember about Peachtree, about your faith development, that you want to carry forward with you?
For me, something I definitely want to remember going into college is how faithful he's shown throughout my life, whether it's with my family or my friends, community, such as Peachtree. He's just always provided and always been so faithful. And I really want to carry the blessings I already have with me into the future and the lessons that I've learned along the way throughout high school. There's been ups and downs, but leaning on him through it all has really gotten me through, and I think it will get me through college as well.
Yeah, going off of what Lucy said, one of the things that I love about Psalm 42 is in verse 4, it says, "These things I remember as I pour out my soul." And then he lists out times when he's gone and praised the Lord. And I believe that one thing I really, really want to remember is times when God has been faithful, when I've had a struggle or I've been in suffering or in difficulty, and God has not left me or abandoned me. And I believe that walking with that information can help you to walk with such confidence, because every issue you face, you know that the Lord will be with you.
The opposite of remembering is forgetfulness. So, David, why are you so forgetful?
Well, I know in our lives are so incredibly busy nowadays with school or sports or work or whatever you have going on in your life. And we tend to move so quickly that we forget about the present, and we forget about why we are where we are, and we forget about what has brought us here. And I think it's important to just remember how we got here and the good decisions we made to get where we are. And you know, we can't forget those aspects of our lives.
Yeah. Rixby, what about you?
With me, I have an issue where if something isn't right in front of me, or if I don't have reminders or something, I can kind of lose focus on that. So setting up my life in a way where I can keep focus, you know, having something on my lock screen on my phone or keeping my Bible close to my bed really helps me. But yeah, I mean, I think me personally, I do have to do better with that of staying focused on the Lord even when he's not right in front of my face.
I love what you're saying about that, because we tend to think that the life of faith is primarily just about willpower, and it's not. It's often about habit. And so what are you doing in order to remember God? And so we need to, God is everywhere present, but he's also invisible. And so we need to have our memories jogged, if you will, by the Bible on the nightstand, or the, you know, kind of what's on your phone or whatever the case may be, that our attention isn't just with what's before me, but can help me to remember what is, who God is, and what life really is all about. Let's shift one more time to talk about that kind of third dimension of the message, where I was like, you gotta keep the conversation going, and the conversation keeps going. I want all of you to answer this question primarily by questions. And so as you guys get ready to go to college, what are some questions that you're taking with you into college?
I know for me, a question that I have going to a big school like Georgia Tech is how to respond when somebody attempts to challenge my viewpoints, or how to go about relationships with people who believe different things, because I will be challenged in college. College is a place of discussion and discourse, so I want to know how to go about attempting that discussion.
With me, I know something that I'm interested in is joining a fraternity, finding like brotherhood in college, and even outside of fraternity life, like day-to-day college life, there's a little bit of partying associated with that. So I guess what I'm asking is...
I don't understand. Can you tell me more about that?
I don't think I want to do that. My question is, how can I balance kind of that lifestyle and my faith?
I think a question that I've kind of wrestled with this year is, what if it's not perfect or what I've been imagining it to be? But some advice that I've gotten this year that's helped me a lot with that question is that God's saying, it's not going to be perfect, but I'm walking with you in that. I'm holding your hand, and I'm in that plan.
The question that I've had this year that I think a lot of seniors in the room can relate to is, what is my plan for me? And throughout senior year, I've really had to watch that unfold, and he's just shown to be so faithful. But I'm still carrying the same question going into college. There's a lot of undecisive and uncertainty, but I know because he's shown to be so faithful, and there's been so many blessings throughout senior year, that he'll continue to do so.
Okay. Let's ask one more question. And Claire, I want you answer this one for us. What's one thing that you would like for us to pray for you all as you go to college?
I think definitely staying rooted in our faith. That's what our senior ministry group is called. And we talked all about staying rooted and remembering that our identity is in Christ. And also, I think, remembering that this is our home and our community. No matter where we are, we have this wonderful group of people, and we have the Lord wherever we go.
Are you guys as impressed by their answers as much as I am? Yeah. I mean, I kind of feel like we should just go pick four random adults, put them up here, and see if they could do as well as you guys. I know that in a lot of talk about one generation to the next, there's a lot of negativity. I hope you are as encouraged as I am by their life, by their faithfulness. And in order for us to close in prayer, we're going to do something a little different to this message. I've written a blessing for you all and for the rest of the seniors, a blessing for the road, that's kind of based out of Psalm 42. And I'm going to say it once, and then I'm going to ask the congregation to say it in unison as a prayer over all of the seniors. And the prayer goes like this: May the thirst in your soul always lead you to living water. When your desires run wild or grow weary, may you remember the one who placed them there. When the path feels lonely or the noise too loud, may memory rise like a song in your chest of laughter and friends, prayers whispered over you, and the God who was with you then and goes with you now. May you keep the deepest conversation going with your soul, with your questions, with your Maker. And when hope feels faint, may you know it is still enough to carry you back home. Will you say this with me as a prayer over them in unison? May the thirst in your soul always lead you to living water. When your desires run wild or grow weary, may you remember the one who placed them there. When the path feels lonely or the noise too loud, may memory rise like a song in your chest of laughter and friends, prayers whispered over you, and the God who was with you then and goes with you now. May you keep the deepest conversation going with your soul, with your questions, with your Maker. And when hope feels faint, may you know it is still enough to carry you back home. Amen.